It is an unconventional way of the cross that brings Christ's passion from the streets and alleys of Jerusalem to Rome, where some of the very first Christians, including Saints Peter and Paul, were martyred for their faith. For the last several years, the English-speaking justice and peace promoters of men's and women's religious congregations based here in Rome have organized a Stations of the Cross that passes through some of the Eternal City's historic sites of worship and others laden with deep symbolic importance that put Christ's suffering into a modern context. Sister Toni Harris, justice and peace promoter for Dominican Sisters International, calls it an alternative or contemporary way of the cross and says the idea behind this particularly Roman way of the cross was to encourage the spiritual enrichment of those working in her field and others who wish to participate. Each year, a new itinerary can be chosen, but as an example, she points to the Lenten season in 2012, when this contemporary way of the cross began at the catacombs of San Callisto on the Appian Way, one of the ancient consular roads leading to Rome. Sister Toni says San Callisto stands out as one site that poignantly illustrates the sacrifice of some of the church's early Christians who lost their lives for their faith.
This is a burial place that began in the second century, and it was outside, the catacombs were outside the city walls because it was not permitted to be buried inside the city walls. And so Christians, who were then most often slaves and other poor people, didn't have money to buy land for burial, so they were often burying family members and were buried themselves in the catacombs. San Callisto is reputed to be the largest of the catacombs, with about 500,000 tombs and 5 levels that have been dug into the volcanic kind of earth.
And I know it goes on for kilometers and kilometers, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think it took on particular significance for me because there are at least 50 martyrs buried in that catacombs. And in fact, St. Cecilia was one of them, although her remains were moved to another location. But at that spot, we prayed for people today who are victims of persecution for their faith. And we named countries like India, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Pakistan, the Philippines, other Asian countries, Egypt, Nigeria, the Holy Land, for example. So there are Christians in those places and in others who are at risk every day because of their faith. And we called to mind that reality and prayed for members of the Christian family that are in those places of danger.
Well, in fact, that's one of my next questions. You yourself, you work in justice and peace. You travel around the world trying to raise awareness about the things that should concern members of the church. What are some of the other things that you tried to bring to mind of the faithful during this time of Lent, during perhaps the Stations of the Cross, which they may be performing at their own homes or in their own churches, wherever they be around the world?
Well, we walked along the Appian Way, which is probably one of the oldest and earliest paved roads in the world, from the 4th century before Christ. And it was there in 73 BC that the people who followed Spartacus in a slave revolt were crucified. They estimate that 6,000 slaves were crucified along the road after they were defeated in their revolt.
Well, just to remind our listeners, Spartacus was formerly a slave who was
a gladiator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he organized a revolt. In those days, we were told that 1 in every 3 persons was a slave. So it affected a large part of the population. But they were defeated. And so we prayed at that time for current day slaves, people who are in slavery-like conditions, especially victims of human trafficking, which we would call contemporary slavery. So we prayed for the young girls and women who are exploited in the commercial sex industry, those who are forced to become soldiers, especially child soldiers who are used as tools for violence, people in bonded labor in agricultural fields and mines and factories. We also prayed for the perpetrators and organizers of human trafficking and those who benefit from it, the people who benefit from human trafficking. So we made the connection in that station with contemporary example of slavery.
And that's something that we too, as faithful, perhaps should be thinking about, as I said, as we perform our own way of the cross at home or in our churches. How large, how extensive is this phenomenon of human trafficking, of slavery?
Well, I think the estimate now is about 27 million who are in some form of work or bondage against their will. So it's a very big business. It seems to be increasing in size.
You know, sometimes I feel, and I'm sure many people would agree with me, I pray, but I'm not sure I'm getting anywhere with God, you know? Does prayer really help to stop these things, stop conflict, stop war, stop human slavery?
Well, I think that prayer is a mystery in some ways, and there are people that whose spirituality is much more profound than mine who have tried to talk about prayer's effectiveness or the meaning of prayer or why we pray. But I believe that prayer, first of all, connects us with God and then connects us with the person or situation about which we're praying in some way, connects us, makes us somehow stand in solidarity.
The same kind of solidarity, Sister Toni says, is expressed in this Franciscan prayer, recited on this Way of the Cross.
May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy.
I don't think it's some kind of magic, because we all know people who have had tragedies and have prayed very, very hard for something not to happen or for something to change, and it hasn't happened or it hasn't changed. We have other people who have stories of having prayed, asked for intercession of certain holy people and have somehow miraculously seemed to receive favor. So I think that whole spiritual reality of an effort to communicate with God is kind of a mystery. But I think it's very important to hold the people who are victims of injustice and suffering in our prayer, both for their sake and for ours, so that we understand ourselves as member of the same human family and as children of God.
Sister Toni points to another stop on the Way of the Cross, the Porta di San Sebastiano, or Gateway of St. Sebastian, in the 4th century Aurelian Wall surrounding Rome. Here, she says the pilgrims on this contemporary journey stopped to reflect on the walls erected between countries, peoples, and even within ourselves.
We reflected there about gates in general, and we recognized that there are gates that are created by government authorities, by the laws, even by the attitudes that we have in our own hearts and minds. And we reflected on people today, approximately 34 million people in the world today who are refugees, asylum seekers, and stateless persons or internally displaced persons in their own countries. and another 200 million who are migrants. And we reflected on the question of what has to happen, what kind of gates have to open so that people in these situations can live in peace and security.
It's interesting, too, that particular gate that you're talking about, San Sebastiano, would be leading towards perhaps the Church of Saint Sebastian, who, of course, was an early Christian martyr who was shot to death with bows and arrows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We went to a couple of, well, maybe three or four churches, but one of the churches was the Church of Domine Quo Vadis, which is also along the road there. The legend is that St. Peter was running away from persecution in Rome, having gotten out of the prison. And on his way out of town, he met Jesus walking on the road and said to Jesus.
This was the Appian Way.
Yes, mm-hmm. The Appian Way. Mm-hmm. He said to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going? Domine, quo vadis?" And Jesus responded, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified." And so the legend is that Peter then turned around and went back to Rome to face the persecution. At that site, we reflected about the temptation for all of us to run away from the challenges that come with being faithful to the gospel and to the challenges that come with being faithful followers of Jesus. And we prayed that we would somehow be courageous enough to face the consequences that come with the commitment to follow Jesus.
May God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. And may the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and sanctifies, be upon us and all those whom we love and pray for, this day and forevermore. Amen.